Hi, everybody, and welcome to English Digest. My name is Joe.
I'm Jamie.
And today we're going to be discussing day two of our article, which is A Class Divided, Learning from Discrimination. Yesterday we got a little bit of background about the civil rights movement in the United States in the late 1960s. It was a very chaotic time. The African-American population of the United States was fighting to have equal rights, and they were basically led by a man by the name of Martin Luther King Jr., who was tragically assassinated in 1968, and a lot of people were wondering, where does the movement go from here? Meanwhile, there was a teacher by the name of Elliot, Jane Elliot, in Iowa, in the United States of America, and she decided to conduct an experiment on her own with her class of children. She divided the class into two groups, the blue-eyed students and the brown-eyed students, and for one day, she discriminated against the brown-eyed kids. She gave them less recess time, she prohibited them from playing with the blue-eyed kids, and she constantly put them down and insulted them. The day after that, she did the same thing to the blue-eyed kids. And she noticed that the test scores of the kids she was discriminating against went down. They started getting depressed and things of that nature. Well, that brought us up to the end of yesterday's article, so let's find out a lot more about this experiment and its implications. We're going to read through today's article, and then Jamie and I will be back.
Elliot continued conducting this experiment with other classes, and in 1970, it was filmed and turned into a documentary called Eye of the Storm. She later explained that she came up with the idea for the study after watching news coverage in the aftermath of Martin Luther King Jr.'s death. She heard a white reporter use the phrase, "you people," when referring to blacks. Elliot found his choice of words insulting and demeaning. Still, she knew that simply voicing her displeasure wouldn't let students know how indignant she felt about the event. Thus, Elliot created a microcosm of American society in her classroom to let her students feel the pain of discrimination rather than just read about it. Nearly 15 years later, Elliot reunited with these students to discuss the experiment. The participants were all adults with kids of their own, and many revealed that the experience had truly changed their lives. They said that never would they forget how terrible they felt when they were discriminated against for a day. As a result, they would always stop and think before they judged others for being different. Elliot's experiment went on to inspire diversity training classes at many corporations and government institutions. Elliot eventually left her school teaching job to join this field. She helped companies build stronger teams and taught employees to work together regardless of their race or background. When asked if she wished that more schools would adopt her experiment, she replied that her greatest hope is that one day soon, the necessity for this kind of racial education would be wiped out.
Okay, today's article starts off by saying Elliot continued conducting this experiment with other classes, and in 1970 it was filmed and turned into a documentary called Eye of the Storm. When someone such as a scientist or a psychologist, somebody working in the field of science, does an experiment, we often use this word conduct. Conduct an experiment. It just means to do an experiment. And she was doing this experiment with other classes, and in 1970, it was actually filmed and turned into this documentary called Eye of the Storm. A documentary is a film. It is a film about events that really take place. It is not fictional. It is about real events, and it focuses on real people going through some sort of ordeal. So she filmed the experiment, she filmed the kids, and she did this, I guess, so people could see what was going on and see the results of this experiment she was doing.
Right, exactly. As Joe mentioned, a documentary is something, usually it's a film, but it's not like a Hollywood movie. It's something that will be educational or give you a little bit more insight on a particular issue. There's actually a lot of great documentaries on bands, so you can kind of understand how the group, how the singers started, and how the different members met. And this documentary that Elliot did was called Eye of the Storm. And later, Elliot explained that she came up with the idea for the study in her class after watching news coverage in the aftermath of King's death. So news coverage is just, it kind of sounds like it actually, the word, it sounds like its meaning. For example, like news coverage means when you cover a certain event. So you can watch news coverage about the latest typhoon, and that would basically be a reporter talking about what happened during the typhoon, how the conditions are. And she was watching news coverage in the aftermath of King's death. And aftermath is after something has happened. So it's an easy way to remember the word aftermath is after an event has occurred.
So when we talk about the aftermath of Martin Luther King Jr.'s death, it just means after he was killed, after he was assassinated, and she was watching how reporters were covering this story, covering his death, how they were talking about it, how they were framing the event, and what they were saying about it. For example, she heard a white reporter use the phrase, "you people," when referring to blacks. Now, this might seem harmless, but when people use the phrase, "you people," when referring to another racial group, well, usually it has some sort of negative meaning behind it. They're going to say, well, you people, and then usually a stereotype will come after it. You people always do this, or you people never do that. And she was saying this referring to blacks. Referring to is a phrase which means talking about. So he was talking about black people, and he used this phrase, "you people." It's kind of a racially charged phrase, "you people." If you just look at the words by themselves out of context, it does look harmless, but when it gets into a racial context, when we're talking about it between white people and black people or any other two different racial groups, it kind of takes on a different, much more controversial meaning.
And as Joe had mentioned, Elliot found these words to be insulting and demeaning. So if something is demeaning, it's something that is not only insulting, but usually it tends to really make it seem like the person you're talking about is on a lower level than you are. So, for example, if you went up to someone and you treated them very cruelly, for example, let's say like a housekeeper, and you just said, "do this, you know, get out of here," you know, and you talk to them in a very nasty kind of way, as if you were better than them, that would be talking to them in a very demeaning manner.
So she did find this phrase, "you people," to be, just as Jamie had explained, demeaning, as if the reporter was inferring that black people were less than white people. They were not as good. They were not on the same level. Still, she knew that simply voicing her displeasure wouldn't let students know how indignant she felt about the event. Well, let's go through a few of these words here. She wanted to voice her displeasure. If you voice something, it just means that you talk about it. You are vocal about it. You let people know how you feel. She wanted people to know about her displeasure. Displeasure just means she is not pleased. She is not happy about what is going on in the world. But she thought that just being vocal about it, just voicing these feelings, wouldn't let students know how indignant she felt. If you are indignant about something, it means you are not pleased, very disappointed, and very frustrated about something that is going on. You do not agree with what is going on, and in fact, you probably feel as if whatever is going on, you feel the exact opposite should be happening.
Exactly. It's a very strong feeling. If you're indignant, you're very strongly frustrated about something. And a good trick, actually, for the other word, remembering displeasure, is if you know the word pleasure means something that you are happy about, something you enjoy, if it's something to your displeasure, it's something that you don't like. So in this case, she just wanted people to know, she wanted to voice or express her displeasure. And she knew that just only doing that, though, wouldn't let her students really know how it felt to be in a situation, and maybe they would forget about it. Thus, Elliot created a microcosm of American society in her classroom. Microcosm is basically a small example of what it was like. So she had her students, okay, the population of the U.S. at that time was in the hundreds of millions, but she had a small group of maybe 15 or 20 students, and she created very similar circumstances to the racial problems in the U.S. So that was a microcosm of the American society at that point. And she did this because she wanted to let her students feel the pain of discrimination instead of just reading about it, because it's much more powerful to feel it than to just read about it in a newspaper or book.
That's right. Basically, what she did was she just created a smaller version of what was happening as far as racial issues in the United States within her own classroom. So remember, microcosm just means a very small version of something that is much larger. And that's what she did in her classroom. So she took all these students in her classroom, divided them up, and actually let them feel what it was like to be a minority in the United States at that time, specifically referring to the black or African American population of the United States. And she let them know what it was like to experience having certain rights and freedoms taken away, and experience what it was like to have a group of people standing over you saying, we're better than you, you don't deserve to be on the same level, which was how a lot of the African American population felt at that time, because they did not have equal rights to the white people in American society. So a very interesting experiment indeed. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half of today's program. Now let's take a moment to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们继续来看这个文章，这谈的呢是种族歧视，谈到一个班级里面怎么做实验来证明他的论点。这位老师呢是 Elliot， 那他继续在他其他的课堂上也做相同的实验，然后呢在1970年这个就被拍成了纪录片。我们看到这个片名他说 Eye of the Storm， 我们中文把它翻成暴风眼。好，后来他又解释他是为什么会有这个想法，他说是在 In the aftermath of Martin Luther King， aftermath 本来就是指一个事件它结束之后的那段时期，所以呢他的意思也就是说他是在 Dr. King 金恩博士他过世之后那段时间他才有这样子的点子。好咯，那他就想到说他当时听到一个白人记者他指称黑人的时候，他是用You people， 用这样子的字。好，我们看到这个文法结构上 When referring to blacks， 这个地方其实是一个分词构句，知道主词不见了，主词其实是 he， 也就是那位记者。 When he referred to blacks， 这个记者当他在指称黑人的时候，好，所以主词不见了，我们动词改成 ving， 所以看到 referring 是这样来的。好，看了分词构句之后再往下，下面又有一个句型，他提到说 Elliot found his choice of words insulting and demeaning。 found 其实这个动词也是一个 VOC 的句型里面常见的，当你后面看到 found 这个动词后面的受词 his choice of words， 然后接着下来的那个 ing 现在分词其实就是一个补语。好，我们看到 insulting 加了 ing， 还有后面的 demeaning 也加了 ing， 这两个其实都是分词作为补语用。那 demeaning 是什么意思呢？就表示贬低别人的。好咯，那他觉得说如果他只是发出他的不满，口头表达是没办法让学生了解这件事情有多么的愤怒，所以他呢会在班上创造一个所谓的美国社会的缩影。看到这个字 microcosm， 这个字就像一个缩图一个缩影一样，所以在他教室里面呢，他要让学生去感受到这种受到歧视的痛苦，而不是纸上谈兵而已。
We're going to take a short break here on English Digest, but don't go away, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, this is Jamie, and we're talking about the second day of the article, A Class Divided, Learning from Discrimination. And so after we had just discussed, Jane Elliott had set up a very interesting experiment because she wanted her students to feel the tension in the United States between blacks and whites and just to see how that felt. After she had originally set up the first experiment, which was a success in her class, she continued conducting the experiment with other classes. So it worked with the first one, and she continued to do it with future classes. And it was such an interesting experiment that it was turned into a documentary, which we explained was a movie, called Eye of the Storm. And she later explained that the reason that she came up, or how she came up with this very interesting idea and experiment, was she was watching the news right after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, after he was shot. And she was very upset. She had heard that a white reporter had used the phrase, "you people," when he was asking questions to a black person. And Elliot found this very, very insulting and very demeaning. And she really just thought it was not right. And she wanted her students, although they were young, she didn't want them to grow up having these kind of opinions about other people and treating them unfairly. So that's why she came up with this experiment. And she just really knew that she couldn't just talk about it in class and maybe just have them read an article, because she felt that they would probably just read it and maybe they would understand it, but then they would later forget about it. So she wanted something to be a lot, she wanted her experiment to be a lot more powerful. So she designed it this way. So instead of just reading about it, they would actually feel the pain of being discriminated against. And so the experiment itself was a microcosm of American society. So that means it was just a smaller example of what life was like in America as a whole at that time. And so this is why she created the experiment. And she wanted her students to feel this discrimination and pain.
Well, let's find out if they actually did remember the experiment and what sort of impact it had on the kids who were in Jane Elliott's class. We're into paragraph 2 now, which begins by saying, nearly 15 years later, Elliott reunited with these students to discuss the experiment. If you reunite with somebody, it just means you get back together with somebody you knew or you had been around in the past. You lose contact for a while, perhaps, or you're just not around each other, and then you get back together. You meet up with them. You meet again, and you are around each other again. So she's been separated from these students for 15 years. They've moved on, gone on to other classes. Likely they are now out of school, or perhaps, depending on how old they were when the experiment was done, perhaps they're in college now, or maybe they've begun their professional lives. And she wanted to discuss the experiment with them now that they had grown up.
Exactly. And you'll see this word reunite in a couple of places. You'll see it a lot. A lot of times people, as in this case, they're going to meet again with their old classmates. So that's a lot of times it'll be like a high school reunion or a college reunion. And during this kind of meeting, you will reunite with your old friends. And also you may see this a lot of times in stories about a lost pet. So maybe somebody had lost their pet and their pet was missing for 2 or 3 months. And then finally they are reunited with their pet. So they are reintroduced to them. They get to see them once again. The participants in the study were all adults with kids of their own. And many revealed that the experience had truly changed their lives. So Elliot was right. She felt by making her students feel it, it would change their lives. And many of the participants are people that are involved in a certain study or a certain contest. So in this case, the participants are what? They're her old students. And now they were all adults. They had their own kids. So they were in their 20s and 30s. And many of them revealed, right? When you reveal something, you give information. So many of them revealed that the experience had truly changed their lives. So, in other words, they told Elliot, they said, look, the experience that I had in your class really just changed my life.
That's right. When you reveal something, it means that you give information that was not previously known or previously available. And they did say that the experience had truly changed their lives. They said that never would they forget how terrible they felt when they were discriminated against for a day. So they said they would never forget this experience because Jane Elliott had given them this very concrete example of what it was like to be discriminated against rather than just having them read about it or even just discuss it. By actually making them experience it, they said they would never forget experiencing that for a day. As a result, they would always stop and think before they judged others for being different. So as it turns out, she did change these kids' lives forever, because here we are 15 years later. That's a very long period of time, a very significant portion of their lives. And they have still never forgot the experience, and they are still applying that experience to their daily lives, and it seems they have learned a very valuable lesson.
Yeah, it was very interesting, actually, on the video, because I had watched the video. They actually had given some examples where something happened, and they were in the community, and maybe somebody, you know, everyone in the class was pretty much white, and there would be a black person there, and they would overhear maybe some other people saying bad things. And they actually remembered that experiment, and they stopped, and they thought about it, and they say, wait a minute, this is not fair, you know, people should not be saying this. And they were very kind to the person instead of maybe going along with the crowd and saying something negative or joining in. Elliott's experiment went on to inspire diversity training classes at many corporations and government institutions. So the experiments that she did actually went on beyond the classroom, and she started giving diversity training classes at many corporations and institutions. Diversity training is training that's actually very popular in companies now, where people will come in and teach you how to work with others who are different than you. And in this day and age now, you have so many people working together in big companies. For example, you have Taiwanese people and American people and European people. And people from all over the world and African people all working together in the same company. So diversity training lets you experience what it's like to work with people from different cultures. And she's giving these classes at corporations, which are very, very big companies, and government institutions, which is just another word for a group that concerns a government institution.
That's right. It's like a government agency, like the National Immigration Agency or the Bureau of Foreign Affairs, something like that. Those are examples of government institutions. Well, Elliott eventually left her school teaching job to join this field. So she was teaching, but then she went on to join the field of diversity training classes, teaching people from many different backgrounds and of many different races how to work together and how to embrace their cultural differences. She helped companies build stronger teams and taught employees to work together regardless of their race or background. If you do something regardless of something else, it means you do something while paying no attention or not really noticing something else. So because she taught these employees to work together regardless of their race or background, so she taught them to work together paying no attention to the other people are white or black or Asian or Indian. That should not even factor in to how they work together. They should work together as people, not working together as people of different races. In other words, she taught them to ignore or to work together even though they have these racial or cultural differences.
Exactly. And later, when asked if she wished that more schools would adopt her experiment, and adopt means just to take it on, to also do it. So you can adopt the belief, right? So you would also share the same belief as somebody else. So when she was asked if she would adopt her, if she wished other schools would adopt her experiment, she replied that her greatest hope is that one day soon the necessity, which also means the need for this kind of racial education, would be wiped out. And if something is wiped out, that means it's erased and it's done. So in other words, she's saying that she hopes that one day this kind of education wouldn't be necessary. It would be finished because people would treat each other better and they wouldn't have such discrimination.
That's right. So she hoped that racial issues would one day simply be a thing of the past. All right, that brings us to the end of today's article, but now once again, it's time to listen to our Chinese teacher.
好，我们继续来看，那这个实验呢，到底后来有怎么样的结果呢？那这边继续谈了15年之后 ，Elliot 这位老师 reunited with these students。我们知道 reunite 是重聚，那也就是我们有时候讲同学会是 class reunion。那这个 reunite 是它的动词，它重新再召集的这些人重新跟他们聚会，然后来讨论当年的这个实验。好，那这些当时参与实验的人其实都长大了，有自己的小孩，而其中呢，有许多人都说这个经验的确改变了他们的人生。他们还说他们永远不会忘记什么呢？好，这句话稍微留意一下，从 they said 开始， they said that never would they forget how terrible they felt。 好，看到这边 never 这个字它是一个否定的副词。好，我们注意到吗？昨天在讲这个字，说到否定副词，否定副词偏语，放在句首会有倒装的现象。那这边是第二次出现， never 就是一个否定副词，从未，从没有。所以这个如果你用原来的句构来看，本来应该是讲 they would never forget how terrible they felt，你这个变成了 never would they forget， 这就是一个倒装句型。好，我们再来往下，下面就说他们永远不会忘记被歧视的那天感觉有多糟。 discriminate 这个字后面有一个介系词是 against， 当你对谁歧视，这个 against 后面是加被歧视的对象，当然这句话是被动句， when they were discriminated against，说他们被歧视的时候。好，被动句里面，但是呢 against 这个介系词有保留哦。好，我们再来往下读，后来呢当他们要批判那些跟自己不一样的人之前，总是会停下来思考。好，可见它影响有多大。而最后这一段告诉大家，这个实验其实也激励了很多的企业政府机关，然后他们开设了多元训练的课程。Diversity 这个字其实就是表示多元。好，我们再往下读，下面呢他就说到 Elliot 最后其实他辞掉了学校的工作，然后投身于这个领域，而且他帮很多公司呢建立了更强的团队，还教员工们说，诶，你不管彼此种族或背景是什么，都要互相合作。好，这里有个片语 regardless of their race or background， regardless of它后面呢加一个名词，就表示不论后者，不管什么因素。接下来最后这边他说到 when asked if she wished， 好，先停在这里。 when asked 这个句构一看就知道，诶，有什么东西被省略了，主词被省略了，被动的 be 动词 was 被省略了。原来他是讲 when she was asked当他被问到，但是你知道主词会省略，而 be 动词在被动里面可以省略，这样形成的就是一个分词构句。好，我们再来，下面就说到当他被问到是不是希望学校采行他的这种实验的时候，他的回答其实很有智慧，因为他说他最大的希望是以后啊，其实这种种族教育的必要性将不会再存在。好，提到不会再存在 would be wiped out， 这个 wipe out 其实就是表示彻底的消灭，去除。
That's all the time we have today for English Digest, but please do join us again next time. Until then, I'm Joe.
I'm Jamie.
Goodbye.